Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Welcome in, everybody. Happy Thursday to you on Sports Daily here. Jacob Albrecht alongside Tommy Kester, Chad Chambers producing this bad boy for us. It is your time to shine. The IHOP hotline is open, 869-1240. You can have that number to call. You can also get in touch with the program lots of different ways. You can leave us comments on our video streams. We come to you live on 12 News Plus Connected. Glad to be there. Facebook, YouTube, X. You can leave us comments. You can leave us voice messages on the Odyssey app if you're listening live to us right now. We'd invite you to listen live or in the archives on the Odyssey app. But you can leave a voicemail there. Lots of different ways to get in touch with the program. Thursday's always big this time of year. We'll have our K-State insider Tim Fitzgerald on about 10 o'clock to talk about the Cats opening up Big 12 play at BYU. And then we'll have our betting expert, PJ Glasser, in. Try to recover from a tough week, I think, across the universe in the betting world last week. We'll see how PJ did and get his take on a week. Sometimes the pendulum swings hard. I'm curious to get his take on what's been a wild, wild, really college and NFL season. Very unpredictable. But we'll get into that as well as we make our way through. The Royals, certainly top of mind. Is that magic number, after a series head-to-head with Detroit, does not change. It remains at 8 now with 9 games to go, which is worrisome. How worrisome? We'll get into that throughout the show today as well. We'll give away a little HTO later in the show, so stay tuned for your opportunity to win that. Quick shout out to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up each and every morning with some great coffee at the KFH studios. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
Man, I'm okay. I kept thinking last night as I was watching the Royals game, you know, you mentioned the magic number. It doesn't really seem very magic right now. So I shudder every time I think about that as we're getting down to the wire, and it's going to be a fairly tense race to the finish, I believe.
Yeah, I think it is too. And we'll spend some time early in the show on that. It's been a stressful series. It's been stressful. I feel a little stressed, Tommy. We had to say goodbye to the family cat yesterday.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear about that.
But it's crazy. It's very strange now with kids. I mean, losing a pet always sucks, right? And you know, I feel for anybody who loses a pet. It's the worst. It's not the worst, but it's really, 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 really bad. It sucks. It's really bad with kids. Like, I don't know how to, like, you know, we're having breakfast this morning, and one of my kids is just holding the collar with, like, tears in her, not like sobbing or crying, just like, man, like you go through that. And so, you know, we've had that, this Royals series, stressful. Like, it is stressful because these are close games. Like, they're one run games. It's not like the Royals are playing poorly. So a day off is going to be a nice thing, right? A day off, a time to catch a breath, you know, do all those things, just in general, is going to feel nice. This is what you invite with good baseball, though, Tommy. Like, this is it. This is what you bring to the table when you know you're going to be in the middle of a playoff chase.
Yeah, the name of the game, especially last night's game and the night before against the Tigers, was the Royals' inability to capitalize, their failure to capitalize. They hit into probably more double plays in the last two games than maybe they had the entire season. It's been wildly frustrating to get runners aboard and then not be able to bring them home. That happened multiple times in last night's game. You know, Alec Marsh got chased early. He didn't have a particularly good start. But credit goes to Daniel Lynch. I mean, he hung in there and he kept the Royals in the ball game basically the rest of the way. I know that at that point the Royals are down and then they've got, you know, to try to come back from that. And that was, you know, easier said than done and ultimately not what they were able to do. But it wasn't like they were ever really out of it. And that credit goes to Daniel Lynch. The offense just couldn't get anything going to bring runs home. And that was the same thing the night before. So they've got to get that part of it figured out, because outside of, yeah, Alec Marsh didn't have a great game, you know, at least yesterday, Daniel Lynch and the bullpen, they did, and they kept the Royals into the ballgame.
Yeah, it's, I mean, look, there have been times this season where the Royals have been flat playing poorly, right? It's happened a few times. This isn't one of those times. At least it doesn't seem like it is to me. They could be a little better offensively, but they're going to have to figure that out, because without Vinny Pasquantino, this just isn't the same offense. And I don't know if he can return, but I don't think you count on it by any means. So it's going to take, you know, Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez shouldering a lot of the load here. And you hope guys like Tommy Pham can help that. But yeah, they're going to have to pitch their way into any sort of run that they make. I mean, make no bones about it. Like, the Royals will have to have the best starting pitching, I think, if they want to make a postseason run. And I say that they're fully capable of doing that, right? Like, that's been the strength of this team all the way through. And in a postseason series, that shrinks down to a four-man rotation. I mean, I'd challenge anybody to give me a better four-man rotation right now in baseball, top to bottom, through the first four in that rotation. And so, I don't know what Lorenzen's status is either, by the way. I'm not sure. But at least through the top three, which is usually enough in a playoff series. I mean, you get into the long series and sometimes you don't even use more than three. So we'll see, but they got to get there. A magic number didn't change. The Tigers have picked the exact right time to get white hot. They have won four as the Royals have lost four and have made up a ton of ground here. The good news for Kansas City, Tommy, is they're making up ground, not just on the Royals, but on the Twins too. So the Twins are potentially going to enter this magic number conversation also, which is good. The Royals have the advantage of being the top of those three teams. If the Tigers stay hot and were to pass them, the Royals still have the game and a half on the Twins. Remember, they're in the second wild card spot, not the third. So that makes my panic meter, and I said, right, 1 to 10, I'm probably at about a 5 right now. The Royals get the day off. They get an advantageous schedule here coming up. They get three against the Giants at home. They go to Washington for three, and then they go to Atlanta for three, and you'd really like to have this wrapped up by the time you get through the Washington series. The Tigers are, I would say, slightly more difficult in their schedule. Here's the other thing, too, is the, you know, the Orioles are also struggling. They've lost three in a row. So Kansas City's just 2.5 back of Baltimore. So that is also potentially on the table here, but I don't think you look at that yet. So as we look at the Tigers, they go to Baltimore. Somebody, Tommy, is losing ground in that series, right? Like, between the Tigers and the Orioles, whoever loses those games is an advantage to the Royals as long as they're doing what they need to do. Like, if the Tigers stay hot and beat Baltimore up, then you've got an opportunity to go get the top wild card spot. So, like, the schedule is good here. And then it's three against Tampa, by the way, and Tampa can always pitch. And then they do close against the White Sox. I'm not as focused on the Tigers right now. I think the Tigers may get in. You go and look at the Twins, then the Twins also play Baltimore to finish the season, by the way. They still have to make up a game against Cleveland today. Not make up a game. They still have to finish their series with Cleveland today. They go on the road to Boston, and they get three against Miami. I love the fact that Baltimore's back in play one way or the other, right? You get three of those games, Baltimore-Detroit. You get three of those games, Baltimore-Minnesota. No matter who wins or loses those games, it will help the Royals. That's six of the games, right, potentially. That helps the Royals. That's why I'm not overly panicking yet. The Royals have wiggle room because of the way the schedule falls for all of these teams down the stretch.
It wouldn't shock me one bit, honestly, if Detroit makes it into the playoffs. I mean, they're the hottest team in baseball right now. And they're, you know, I think I heard on the broadcast last night that in the last 34 games, Detroit is 24-10 over that stretch. I mean, they've been phenomenal. And what's interesting is that, you know, they're going to play Baltimore next. And Baltimore on paper has a better roster from top to bottom, I think, than Detroit does. Bigger names, more high-profile players. All that young talent that the Orioles have accumulated over the last few years. On paper, the Orioles look like the better team. And throughout the entire season, the body of work shows that they have been. But it wouldn't surprise me one bit if Detroit comes in and takes that series against Baltimore. And then we're talking about the Royals, assuming that they can, you know, get back on track a little bit this weekend against the Giants at home. We could be talking about a whole lot of jumbled up, you know, situations in the wild card race for the Royals. I think the only thing I was thinking about this last night, the only thing that it concerns me slightly, and it could wildly go one of two directions. I think that everybody is so focused on the Royals just making the playoffs, and rightfully so, because of how, you know, close it's going to be and all of that, that nobody's really thought much about what happens once they're in the playoffs. And we know that they've got the rotation set up nicely for a playoff series and all of that, but it could go one of two directions. You could have so much focus on the regular season, winning the as many games as you can down the stretch to get in, that you take your eye off the ball in the playoffs and you're immediately eliminated. Or it could go the other way around, where you have no pressure going into the playoffs. You're kind of playing with house money, and you can make a little bit of a run. So it could go one of two directions. I was just thinking about that last night, that the conversation and the narrative, rightfully so, has been so wrapped up in will they or won't they even make it, that at this point there really has been very little discussion about what happens when and if they do.
Yeah, and
worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Look, they're a streaky team, so that has always been, like, are they hot or not going in? We'll talk about that. By the way, just on the Orioles here, they go Detroit at the Yankees at Minnesota to finish. That's good. I mean, if the Royals just win their games here, they could get the top wild card spot, which hasn't been in play in forever. So, like, if you're panicking, be Baltimore.
Well,
Baltimore should probably be panicking a little.
The one thing you did say there, they have to win their games. They're on a four-game losing skid right now, so you've got to get that turned around.
You do. And that's what we're going to talk about next. I would say this. It's been more about Detroit than it's been about Kansas City. That's how I felt. They did take 2 of 3 from Pittsburgh, and I know they lost that last game by a run. But to me, what I just watched in the last series, that was a Detroit thing. Last night was a little frustrating with the errors and some of those things. Detroit's white hot. You get a day off. Let's talk about that. What happens here? What does the team need to do? To get to your comment, is this team poised to make a run if they can get there? We'll get to some video comments as well. Your comments on the IHOP hotline, 869-1240. It's all out there for you, Royals fans. We'll go another segment on baseball before we switch to some betting talk a little bit later in the hour. Don't go away. More Sports Daily right after this.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily here. Baseball coverage on KFH presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here. Jad Chambers producing. Jad tells me it's National Talk Like a Pirate Day. Reminds me of this pirate buddy I have. Tommy was at the grocery store the other day and he was walking around and he had his pirate ship steering wheel. He had it hanging out of his pants, like the zipper of his pants. And he's walking around, no big deal, right? Does this all the time. And he gets to the cashier, and the cashier says, "Sir, did you know that there's a steering wheel hanging out of the front of your pants?" And he said, Yeah, I know. Arr, it's driving me nuts.
It's been a minute since we've had a dad joke on this show. So yeah, I was, I was hoping it was, you know, you kind of get lured into like a false sense of security and hope that you'll never get another one. And then you just come out of nowhere and slap me across the face with it.
Yeah. Appreciate the rim shot there, Chad. That was unplanned. So, we need to bring those back. We need to bring those back.
Just a little word of advice, a little disclaimer for anybody who's going around the office with National Talk Like a Pirate Day. Be very careful to who you're talking about booty with while you're around the office, because that could very quickly end up in an HR complaint.
Yeah, are we safe with driving me nuts? I guess I should have run that through the.
I think you're okay. Is it distasteful? Sure. Is it something that's going to get us in trouble? Probably not.
Okay. Well, we're good then. All the pirate stuff today. I'm not sure how this became a holiday. But I'm glad Jad's here to remind us. Okay, let's continue the Royals conversation here. We'll have PJ Glasser up next segment to talk a little betting. I keep saying my panic meter's not high for two reasons. A, what we just went over with the schedules. There are a lot of opportunities for the Royals to be the beneficiary of the way these schedules finish up, not just for themselves, but for everybody else. Yes, they need to still win games. I haven't watched them, Tommy, other than, you know, a couple of mistakes last night. Like the Urcig game, it was an extra innings. Like that's a crapshoot these days with the rules. I haven't watched them in this stressful time that we've been talking about and thought, man, they're playing really bad. They've done that at times this year. This doesn't feel like one of those times to me. And so a day off now, I'm still pretty confident in. And I'll tell you, like, the pitching's better now than it was, 4 or 5 weeks ago, where it was really rocky. the starting pitching hasn't been the problem in this. I mean, you know, Lugo wasn't great his last time out, but other than that, like,
Marsh wasn't good last night. I mean, and that, but he's not.
But Marsh is never going to be great. Like, Marsh is what he is. He's your fifth starter, or your, well, right now, I guess he's your fourth starter, but he is what he is, right? He's just, he's there helping out. He's not going to be a factor in the postseason, I don't think. And, you know, if he is, it's probably a bad news situation. So I look at it. I think Ursic, even though he lost the other game, like, his stuff to me looked good the other night. I think Bubic is still the guy to bridge you to Ursic. And I think you feel decent about all three of your starters being able to potentially get through seven innings. It's what happens if they can only get through six that gets a little dicey. Bobby Witt Jr. showing some signs of life. Salvador Perez. Like, those guys have to be hot. We know that. But I still feel good about this team's chances if they can get there, because this team has always started with its starting pitching, and I feel good about its starting pitching at this point.
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple of players outside of Bobby Witt and Salvador Perez that have cooled off as of late. Freddie Fermin has not been good lately, and we've seen his playing time increase, especially with Vinny Pasquantino out and on the IL. So that's been, you know, somebody that the Royals need offensively to be able to start to produce a little bit more. He's been nails, though, behind the plate throughout the series, throwing out runners and that sort of thing. So he's been fantastic defensively. They just need his bat to come alive a little bit more. Hunter Renfroe has cooled off some. And so especially, and I mentioned it just a moment ago, especially with, you know, Pasquantino, there's no guarantee that, you know, we'll see him back even at any point during the playoffs. They need to have a couple of other players be able to provide an offensive spark in that lineup outside of Witt and Perez. And, you know, Tommy Pham has cooled off in the last couple of games. Paul DeJong, I think, has been a breath of fresh air as of late, and continuing that, I think, is going to be, you know, essential for Kansas City. So they've got to find some supplemental bats in that lineup. And especially guys, if you really want to drill down into it, I mentioned this in the first segment, guys that are going to be able to drive runners in when they're on base. Because the Royals have not had an issue in the last couple of games on getting runners on base. The issue has been bringing them in. And so they've got to try to find a way to make that happen in clutch, you know, clutch situations. Even if they were slightly better with runners in scoring position in the last couple of games, they probably would have won one, if not both, of those games.
Austin says the last couple of games have shown how much they miss Vinny's bat. I totally agree, Austin, but I don't know. You can't count on it now, right? Maybe you could count on it later, but you can't count on it now. Yeah, that's the hole, right? Vinny Pasquantino was on pace to be 100 RBI guy, well over 100 RBIs. So they've missed that greatly. It's going to have to be a little bit different, and it's almost going to have to be pesky. It's almost going to have to remind me of what we saw a little bit in like 2014, maybe, where some of these guys are just going to have to be really difficult to get out, aggressive on the bases, make the other team make mistake kind of baseball. And I think they can do that. I also think if they catch the right side of a Bobby Witt Jr. or Salvador Perez heater, that can carry them through a series. Like, those guys are both capable of that too, but you gotta, at that point, you have to set the table for them. So again, it's the day off. I know the magic number being at 8 with 9 games to play is a little frightening to say out loud. I get that part of it. If they weren't in a position to benefit from all, you know, all three of the other teams essentially they're contending with here, I think it would be far worse. But yes, they do have to win games. They get a great opportunity to do that here quickly, right? You get three, you get to stay at home after a day off. You get to stay at home and you get three against the Giants. That's awesome. You know, they'll face some decent pitching there, but you got to be able to beat the Giants at home. Then you go to Washington and you got to be able to beat up on bad pitching. Atlanta, I'm just like, If we get to the point where we're done with the Washington series, Tommy, and that magic number's bigger than like 1, I'll be worried at that point. That's where I'm like, okay, but you know, with 6 games before that, the magic number being at 8, the magic number's about to enter the conversation for the Twins also. There's a lot of opportunities for the Royals to get that done over the next 6 games. And I think that they will, by the way. I think that it'll be done by the time they get to the Atlanta series. I get it. stressful. This is what it means to play relevant September baseball. This is what we bargained for, right? This is what we couldn't have asked for more to start this season. This is exactly what we would have hoped for. Now it's here, though, and it's really stressful. I get it. If you are better, it's been a stressful couple weeks of football betting. Perhaps we'll get PJ Glasser in to help us next segment navigate some of these stormy waters, especially in the NFL. That's next. Don't go away. It's all Brockton Caster at Sports Daily. Keep it right here. Welcome in here, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tom and Caster with you live here for the next hour and a half. Glad to be with you as we get ready for a football weekend. Happy to bring in now to get our bets ready for that football weekend, starting tonight with Thursday Night Football, PJ Glasser. Glad to have PJ in on the program again with us this week. PJ, has it been as crazy for you as it has been crazy for us on this football season?
Yeah, I mean, definitely all the upsets we had last week, guys. They're showing the stat that every favorite who has laid like 6.5 points or more this season, they're 0-8 against the spread. So these big underdogs, we saw it last week with Tampa and Las Vegas and Atlanta on Monday night. Not only have they been covering these games, but a lot of them have been winning it outright. And especially week three in the NFL is usually one of my favorite weeks of the year to target underdogs because these teams don't want to go 0-3, right? I mean, the stats out there of teams who go 0-3 and their likelihood to make the playoffs. So we have some matchups this week with, some 0-2 teams going up against 2-0 teams or some 0-2 teams that are in some desperate spots against some good teams. And it's going to make for some really, really good games this week. But guys, it's definitely been tough for sure.
You know, it starts go ahead, Jacob.
I was just going to say you can find PJ on Send It In, which is it's a great show through the BetQL app. You can find all of PJ's work here, not just on this show. It's presented by BetMGM. Search Send It In on the Odyssey app if you want to see that. But yeah, PJ, I was going to start. You mentioned the big underdogs. We got one tonight. It's Thursday Night Football. 6-point dogs. The Patriots. Anybody comfortable? You know, I don't know. I'm not really comfortable with anything. I like Ramondre Stevenson to run the ball a lot. And there's a prop for that. Is that crazy? Or what do you look at with this game?
Yeah, Ramondre was a guy that I was targeting in this game. I think Alan Lazard's another guy to target in this game for the Jets. Obviously had that big week one against San Francisco, then didn't really do too much last week against Tennessee. It's a tough game to handicap, right? Because we obviously all had these assumptions about the Patriots coming into the season and that they were going to be the worst team in the NFL. They'd maybe be lucky to win two or three games. They very easily could be 2-0 right now to start the season. Now they go on the road in a divisional game. Guys, the Jets haven't been this big a favorite against New England in a long, long time. So it's a tough game, right? Like divisional game like this. We just talked about how great these big underdogs have been doing. I think the Jets are a good like teaser option this week. You know, you tease them down the 6 points, just take them on the money line, -275. Pair them with one of these other favorites on the board or maybe even an underdog that you want to take some more points with. But I would lean towards the Jets -6. I think taking them on the money line is the way to go. I honestly would look at like the field goal kickers in this game, you know, taking their props like over 1.5 field goals. Short week, Thursday night. We know how ridiculous these kickers have been hitting 50 yarders this season. And I think it's just going to be that kind of game, you know, low scoring and a lot of field goals. So I do think props are probably the way to go in tonight's game. Ramondre, certainly Lazard's a guy that I like. And then the field goal kickers for both teams, I think, could have a good game as well.
PJ, after 2 weeks of the regular season and 2 weeks of seeing Aaron Rodgers, are you a believer in him, especially with the way that he comes into this game and, you know, what his prop bets are? Is that something that you look at, too?
Yeah, I definitely am a believer in Aaron. I mean, the first 2 weeks, he's shown us that he still had the arm talent, you know, to make all the throws the first 2 weeks, which has been really impressive. They got Braylon Allen going last week as well. He scored 2 touchdowns for the Jets. My concern, honestly, guys, with this team a little bit has been the defense. You know, I thought this defense would be one of the top three units in football. And they did some good things against Tennessee last week, but with the way that San Francisco was able to run the ball on them week one, the Titans were able to move the ball a little bit on them as well. The Patriots tonight should be, this should be the game where it gets the Jets D going. You know, they're at home. It's a short week. You're going up against an offense that really is not very explosive, but the Patriots have been running the ball on teams and they've been scoring points. So Rodgers, I have no concern about. I think as the season continues to go on, he'll get more confidence in his ankle, in his leg. And I mean, the arm talent is still there. So yeah, Rodgers, I think will play well again tonight, but the Jets defense, I want to see them kind of turn into that unit that a lot of us thought they would be coming into the season.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And look, it just feels ugly. Breece Hall, by the way, is a Wichita guy. I don't know if you know that, PJ. So we always have our eye on Breece Hall. We always root for Breece Hall. So, you know, there's always the fans' interest on him in any game that gets played. Let's look around and we'll get to college football. We'll get to KU and K-State in a little bit, but let's just stay on the NFL train right now. So the underdogs have been good. I have no data to back this up. Sometimes the pendulum swings hard in the NFL. There's not a lot of big lines this week, but by week three, outside of the injury issues some teams face, is this a week where we might see some teams that have been a little slower than we thought out of the gates can come back in a sort of a big way at the same time?
Yeah, I think so, because again, we were talking about at the beginning, just the desperation for a lot of these teams that are 0-2. One of my favorite bets of the week, guys, is on Monday night with the Jags +5.5 against Buffalo. I like them plus the points. I think there's a chance that they can win that game outright. One of the things that's like my favorite to bet in the NFL, spots that I always look for, is when teams were favored at home the previous week, lose that game outright, and then they're underdogs on the road the next week. We had three of those cases, guys, in week two. You had Cleveland lose at home week one to Dallas's favorites, come back the next week, beat Jacksonville outright as a road dog. Cincinnati, obviously, last week against Kansas City, covered the spread. They lost outright to New England. And then we saw what Atlanta did on Monday night when they lost week one at home to the Steelers outright, and then they turn around and beat Philadelphia. So Jacksonville fits that this week. They lost at home as a favorite to Cleveland. They come on the road against Buffalo. The Bills look great on Thursday night against Miami. They got an extended week, and now here comes Jacksonville, who's 0-2. But, I mean, very easily could be 2-0 this season, right? That Miami game, they were up double digits. And then Cleveland committed 13 penalties, and they were 2-for-13 on third down. Jags just couldn't muster any offense. They couldn't win that game. But I think this is a good spot to back Jacksonville this week, +5.5. Peterson's seat is getting a little hot. Lawrence has not played all that great the first couple weeks. And I think a lot of people, you know, coming into the season – were kind of concerned about Buffalo in the AFC East. After that Miami win, now people are thinking they're the team to beat in that division. I like kind of selling high on a team a little bit, so I like Jacksonville this week.
PJ, one of my favorite games this weekend, the Eagles on the road in New Orleans against the Saints. The Saints have been an offensive juggernaut in the first two games. Derek Carr, you know, all of a sudden is, you know, looks like he's out there, you know, Brett Favre-ing it and just absolutely running wild. I don't know if I think that that's going to continue at this kind of level and this kind of clip long term, but at least right now the Saints are hot. They're home favorites against an Eagles team that disappointed last week. I'm not a huge believer in Philly because I think they have a ton of talent, but I just don't think that team comes together. I don't like Nick Sirianni a bunch. What do you like in this game, especially knowing that the Eagles, with all their talent, are road dogs this weekend?
It's going to be a really good game, guys. I think this line, though, has just gotten way too out of control now that we're getting +3 with the Eagles. I think that's the play. The look-ahead line in this game before games went off in week two was the Eagles were favored by 2.5, right? And how different would the conversation be if Saquon Barkley makes that catch and the Eagles win that game? Everybody says, oh, it was a great play call. Eagles got out of there. They escaped with A.J. Brown. They're a 2-0 team going up against New Orleans. And the Saints, it's interesting how after their week one game against Carolina, we all thought that was a really impressive performance. Offense looked good. Let's see him do it against a good team, though. And now they do it against Dallas. And instead of people saying, you know what, I want to see more out of the Saints, I want to see if they can continue to do this, we're pricing them like they're going to be one of the best offenses in football the entire season, right? So I'm getting an Eagles team off of a loss that really should have been a win. I know they don't have A.J. Brown, and that certainly hurts them, but it just feels like there's way too much love for the Saints right now. Like, this was a team we were all skeptical on going into week two, not sure if their offense was legit. And now this line is like, we're completely buying into the Saints all of a sudden. It's been a 5.5-point adjustment from this game off of the Eagles losing a game they shouldn't have lost and the Saints offense being incredible. Guys, Derek Carr and the Saints have had 15 drives this season. They have scored on all 15 of those drives, whether it's been a field goal or a touchdown. That's obviously not going to continue. So the Saints are due for some regression. I like the Eagles bouncing back. You're getting a 3 with them as well. I'm on Philadelphia.
Yeah, I am too. And the Cowboys played a part. It was a Mike McCarthy special. Follow a big win with an absolute dud.
Yep.
And that makes the Cowboys and the Ravens one of, to me, the more intriguing but difficult bets or games or anything. The Ravens are 0-2. Like, if you think the Cowboys were disappointing, the Ravens lost to the Raiders. You've got two teams that we think are in the upper echelon, both with their backs against the wall. Like, I have no idea what to do with that one.
Game of the week, and it's for that reason, Jacob, because of the Cowboys are coming off a blowout loss. The Ravens are 0-2. Not only are the Ravens 0-2, guys, they're home against Buffalo next week, and then they're at Cincinnati in week 5. So, like, this thing very easily could get ugly to the point where they're like 1-4 or maybe even 0-5. The thing I keep going back to, and you guys know I'm a Ravens fan, Lamar's 20-1 against the NFC, and his ability against these teams that don't see him very often, that see him once every 4 years, you know, you can watch all the film you want on him, and you can try and simulate him in practice and walkthroughs and bring out the scout team, but until you get out there and you face him and you don't see him very often, it's just watching what he does to these NFC teams. We saw it last year when they blew out San Francisco. We saw it when they blew out Detroit. They blew out Seattle. Like, go back and look what the Ravens did to some of those NFC teams that they played last season. So he's great against the NFC. The Ravens have also kind of been notorious for like blowing fourth quarter leads, right? Like being up double digits and just completely collapsing at the end. They've done that 5 times the last couple of years. They've bounced back the following week and won all 5 of those games. So Lamar against the NFC, Ravens have the ability to bounce back after a really tough loss. It's going to be a really good game because Dallas is probably pissed off with how things went against New Orleans, but Lamar's 21, fellas, against the NFC. I can't overlook that. So I'll roll with Baltimore this week.
Sunday Night Football this week, PJ, the Chiefs on the road in Atlanta taking on the Falcons. And, you know, I had a concern really early on, like in week one and actually the first part of the Falcons last game when they came back and won, that maybe Kirk Cousins was not fully back and maybe he had lost a step. That final drive when he led the Falcons down to score and win the game, he might be back. He might be, you know, vintage Kirk Cousins a little bit there. Of course, the Chiefs hang on to beat the Bengals on Sunday. What do you like in this game? The Chiefs are road favorites. They didn't cover the spread, as you mentioned, a week ago. I have a hard time backing Kansas City, even though I really want to, where that line is right now, just because they didn't cover last week. And I was kind of impressed with the way the Falcons closed out the game in their game a week ago.
Yeah, and it'll be another good game. I like Kansas City -3.5, guys. Again, when we were talking about that Eagles-Saints game, right, it's just kind of the perception around Philly right now. It's the same thing with Atlanta. Like, if Saquon makes that catch, I mean, Cousins in the Atlanta offense for a majority of the game really did not do anything. But because Barkley drops that pass, it gives us one more drive of Atlanta, and Cousins looks great, and the offense goes right down the field. And again, the look-ahead line in this game was 4.5 for the Chiefs. If the Falcons don't make that final drive, it's probably still 4.5. So I think you're getting a little value here with Kansas City. And, you know, as we know, the Chiefs the first two games, right? Like, if Likely's toe isn't out, they either win that game by one or lose that game by one, depending on what the Ravens do in the 2-point conversion. Cincinnati, they only won by a point. So the Chiefs have obviously been winning these games. They could be going a lot different. I still don't feel like we've really gotten an A performance out of them, maybe even like a B-plus performance out of them. So I like Kansas City in this spot, -3.5. I'm not willing to buy into Cousins in Atlanta yet, just after that one drive that we saw.
Yeah, that's going to be just an incredible game to watch for a lot of different reasons. PJ, let's get a little college in here. You know, here where we are, The talk has been the disappointment around Kansas football. They open the Big 12 now. The betting opportunity for them has been what we're not used to. It's been the under. They have their offense is not very good right now, and their defense has been very good. I see another one here at West Virginia with a 56 on it. I'm going to keep hitting it until something changes. But 56 for an offense that's been one of just not good right now, I'm all over that one. What do you like in Kansas, West Virginia?
I'm with you. I would take the under in this game as well. Jacob, the side, it's a tough one. It's a coin flip. West Virginia, Morgantown's a tough place to play. I'd probably lean towards WVU. That Kansas game was just so brutal last week. I mean, I don't have to tell you guys or your listeners that play when UNLV fumbled and like Kansas had five different opportunities to fall on it and they couldn't get it. Like when that stuff happens, you just know it's not your kind of night. Daniels just obviously doesn't look like himself. He's struggling to throw the ball right now. I definitely think they need to lean more on Devin Neal in the ground game a little bit. But I would lean towards West Virginia. I do think the under, though, is the play. Because like you said, Kansas's defense has been good. And how they've been moving the ball on offense has been the ground game. So obviously when you run the ball, you chew the clock. Now in college football, it doesn't stop anymore after first downs. West Virginia is going to look to do the same thing as well. So both of these teams don't mind playing the game in the low 20s, and I think that's what it's going to be, like a 24-20, 27-24 kind of game. So I like the under as well, 56.5.
Our other in-state team, PJ, the Wildcats, Kansas State, it's going to be really interesting for them. They head out to Provo to take on BYU. It's a late start here in the Central Time Zone. It's kind of, I think people are calling it Big 12 after dark now. It's kind of uncharted territory a little bit for the Wildcats going out to play BYU. Right now, they're 6-point road favorites. They really flexed in a top 25 matchup a week ago against Arizona on national TV on Fox. So obviously, you know, the line kind of following that a little bit. Are you a believer in that 6-point favorite line for the Wildcats, or is there something else you like?
Yeah, I like K-State. I'd lay the 6.5 with them in BYU. Again, it's a tough place to play, right? You're going on the night. You're going to Provo during the night. It's going to be a tricky game, but I like how K-State bounced back. I like what their defense did against Arizona. Avery Johnson's obviously got to continue to develop as a passer, but man, is he a great athlete. I think K-State just leans on Giddens. They lean on Avery Johnson's legs. BYU's offense, you know, isn't very good. How they've been kind of winning and hanging around in these games is just mucking it up and keeping it ugly. K-State obviously doesn't mind playing that kind of game either. I just think their offense is much more crisp. It's much more explosive. And I think they found something in that second half of that Tulane game. You know, it looked like they were going to get upset. Something flipped. They carry that over into the game against Arizona. And I think they continue that into the BYU game as well, because obviously they got some big games coming up on deck. Oklahoma State and Utah play each other on Saturday. So somebody's got to lose that game. Good opportunity here for Kansas State. I think they take care of business.
PJ, we really appreciate it. Any other, we got about a minute here. What's your favorite college bet of the weekend?
Favorite college bet of the weekend, guys, is going to be Navy +9.5 against Memphis. So Memphis obviously just had that huge win against Florida State, right? And we all know when Memphis's schedule came out this season, the first game that they circled was Florida State. A lot of people think Memphis could make it to the college football playoff as the Group of Five winner. So you win that game, emotional win. Now you got to go on the road to Annapolis, Maryland, and play Navy and that wishbone offense and a team that's just going to be chopping at your legs for 3 hours, right? And if there was ever a team that you didn't want to have a letdown spot against or be looking ahead for whatever reason, it's against Navy, because as we know, you got to be disciplined. You got to know your assignments on that wishbone. So Navy has not played anybody the first 2 weeks. They have a new coach. We really don't know what to expect out of this team. And I'm expecting Memphis to not be ready. It's an early kick, noon Eastern kick. I like Navy plus the points. I think there's a chance they could pull off that upset. It's a dangerous spot for Memphis.
PJ, we appreciate it. I'm a Cowboys fan, so I'm not going to wish you luck this weekend. We'll have bragging rights on the line there. But, you know, what are you going to do?
Absolutely. Should be a great game. Good talking to you guys. Have a good rest of your week.
There goes PJ Glasser. Appreciate that insight. The host of Send It In and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, PJ Glasser. Those calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Man, that's good stuff there. And look, If you didn't catch all of it, if you missed any of it, you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. A lot of time between now and Saturday. The Thursday night bets are there with PJ, that conversation as well, if you joined us late. So you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. All right, hour number two is coming up. We're going to reset. We're going to talk a little K-State football, a little more with our K-State insider, Tim Fitzgerald. Feeling pretty good right now in Manhattan, but they got to take this show on the road here as they open up Big 12 play. That conversation next on Sports Daily.
In Odyssey Sports Station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For Trent, pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.